Now, you may not believe this, but yesterday when I was down there laying that out, digging those post holes, putting those pier holes, putting those steel pipe in the ground, standing those up, pouring concrete, doing all of the, picking them great big 5-gallon buckets of concrete up, setting them on the back of my pickup and driving them down there and putting them. I was enjoying myself. You know, I was. I was having a good time. I'm a man. God made me to work. Somebody said, well, gee whiz, you could have been up here in the air conditioning sitting here reading the book. Yeah, but that's not me. That's not me. Yeah, I can enjoy that too at times, but that's not me. There's times I like to work. Well, it's just 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. I thought, here I'm dirty. I got concrete on me. I got steel where that rust has been on my shirt and everything else. And I thought, gee, it's 3 o'clock. I sure do need to go get a haircut because I'm closed Monday and Tuesday. We're going out of town for one day and Wednesday coming back. So I really need to go get a haircut. So I just jumped in my truck, left everything right where it was. And I drove down and walked into the barbershop. When I did, one of the barbers, he said, boy, I don't know what you're doing today, but you sure have got dirty. Yeah, I did. I didn't take time to shower and do all that junk. I just went down there to get a haircut. And that's what they give me. Then I come back home and worked. And I said, then I ain't. She said, wow, I guess you put in a hard day today. You're ready to quit. I said, no, I just took off a few minutes to get a haircut. I'm going back and work till dark. And that's what I did. And then I come in, took a shower, and cleaned up. Hey, I was enjoying what I was doing. Do you enjoy what you do, Bill? All the time. See, that's the way it should be for every man. I've seen so many men that tell me, I don't enjoy what I do. I'm miserable. I hate my job. I feel so sorry for you. You know, you need to be grateful. Because, you know, if you say, I hate my job, but, you know, God can just put you out of a job. He can put you on your face until you'll be glad to do anything. That's just like I used to not like cucumber sandwiches. I used to hate cucumbers. Just to be, I mean, I was raised up with cucumbers. Mom and Dad ate cucumbers, but I just couldn't stand them. I don't know why I couldn't, but I didn't like them. So one time I went over to, when I went in the military, they sent me to Japan. And I went out to help one of the guys work on a little house. He was trying to get ready so him and his wife could move into it. And we didn't take anything to eat. I thought they'll have something to eat. I didn't even go to breakfast that morning. I hadn't eaten since that night. Well, that night I had something at the chow hall. And then the next morning, no breakfast. I got out there. And finally, it was about 6 o'clock that afternoon. His wife brought us one cucumber sandwich each with mayonnaise on it. Eric, that sandwich was pretty good. It all depends on how hungry you are, right? As long as I had plenty of stuff in here, I would turn that cucumber sandwich down. If I'd have had dinner that day and she brought that out at 6 o'clock at evening, I'd say, well, that's okay. I don't believe I want anything to eat. But since I hadn't eaten 24 hours, I could eat anything. I was so hungry. And that's like one time we were going to bring my wife's sister's kids home with us to stay a week. She wanted us to bring them, and they were just little. She told my wife, now that's my wife's sister, she said, now my kids won't eat leftovers. You'll have to fix them fresh food every meal. We got home, and next morning, I told my wife, I said, you know, I know why they don't eat leftovers, because they eat too much junk. You know, they eat candy and Cokes and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, I said, don't worry, they'll eat leftovers. I know how to take care of this. So the next morning, I was going to haul gravel. Uncle Thurman, can we go with you in the truck? Oh, Tim and Amanda, they wanted to go. I said, sure, all you get is two of them and two of mine. I said, you four kids get in the front seat up there. That's back before you had to have seat belts and all that junk, you know. So we took them out, and I hauled gravel all day. I never would even let them out of the truck. We hadn't even got away from the house hardly. And they said, Uncle Thurman, let's stop at the store and get a Coke and some peanuts. I said, no, we're going to work today. I said, I told y'all you had breakfast this morning. Y'all wouldn't eat. I said, I had breakfast on the table, eggs and everything. No, y'all wasn't hungry. You didn't want to eat nothing. So I said, we eat. That's it. It's done. It's over. So at 1 o'clock, we come back in. They said, are we going to get to go eat dinner now? I said, no, not yet. I don't eat dinner until about 3. So we about 3 o'clock, I hauled the last load. And when I told Betty, I had called her. I told her, I said, fix the leftovers. Have them ready about 3. And let's see if these kids will eat this stuff. Let me tell you, when I pulled up in the front yard at 3 o'clock, them kids bailed out of that, including my own. Man, they went running in the house. And when I finally got the truck unloaded and got in there, them kids, they ain't waited for me. I mean, they're shoving it in with both hands. Now then, next time I told them we have breakfast, guess what? They had breakfast with me because they knew that, like they call me around here, Baba D, they knew Baba D ain't going to stop and buy you a Coke and a peanut butter bar halfway down the road. He's going to let you eat food, not junk. There's a time for teaching and a time for learning, isn't there? And sometimes that's just the way you have to do it. So I concluded that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to enjoy themselves as long as they can. You know, I feel so sorry for people that go through their life that are miserable all the time. You don't have to be miserable. You can be happy in whatever condition you're in. You can be happy. Can you not? Sure, you need to be happy. Because why be miserable? Because, you know, there's one thing every one of us have in a day, and that's 24 hours. How are you going to use that 24 hours? You're going to worship God and praise Him and thank Him, bless His holy name, do what He says in the Word? Or are you going to grumble and complain and be miserable? Well, guess what? It's your choice. You have the choice. Do you not? Yeah. You have the choice. Now then, let's see what the next couple of verses say. I can see right now, I just looked at my watch, we're not going to get to what I wanted to do. But and people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. Everything you get to eat and drink, you know, that's why when Cheryl and I and Pat or whoever, we go in here, we sit down to have a meal, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's leftovers. I don't care if it's something fresh that Pat has just cooked or whatever. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a smoothie. I don't care if it's something, whatever it is. I never drink it or eat it without praising the King for it. You know, it's wonderful to be able to have it, isn't it, Rosemary? You know, and all we got to do is go, try going a day or two or a week or two without it. You know, that's like this couple I taught on fasting one time, and they happened, he was a truck driver, and him and his wife were from Houston, and they heard me teach on fasting. And so they go home, and he says, we're going to fast. And so we're going to start Sunday morning, and we're going to just fast one day. Actually, they said that we're going to fast 3 days. But she said, Sunday morning we got up and said, we started out and we prayed and everything, and by about 10 o'clock he says, you know, we got to have some breakfast. And she said, honey, we're fasting. Oh, my land. We were going to fast 3 days. He said, I'm so hungry, my stomach's growling. So noontime come and he says, I don't know how long I can go. Now, it only went from last night at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock till noon the next day, and he can't stand it. And so by 6 o'clock that afternoon, he's screaming at his wife, you got to fix me something to eat. I can't go. I can't make it 3 days. I got to have some groceries. And so she said, okay, you're not going to make the fast. He said, I can't. So she fixed him something to eat, and he ate. The next time they come by, he says, how in the world do you fast so long? I said, well, first of all, do you ask God to take away your hunger pains? He said, you're supposed to ask God to take away your hunger pains? I said, well, if you don't, your body is going to respond normally. I mean, you try. You just think about it. You eat at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. You don't eat again until noon the next day. Is your body telling you about it? Oh, yeah. I mean, usually by 6 or 7 o'clock the next morning, your body's telling you about it, right? It's breakfast time. Let's have some breakfast. Now, some people don't eat breakfast, but if you don't eat breakfast by noon, I mean, your body's saying, hey, what's wrong with you? I need some food in here. Is that right? Does yours do that to you too, young lady? Yes, you're just like the rest of us. Absolutely, your body's wanting it to be fed, and it wants to eat every 4 or 5 hours. So Oscar said, you mean you can ask God to take away your hunger pain? I said, yeah, that's the way I do it. Next time they come by, he said, gee. He said, I wish I'd have heard you say that the first time. I must have missed that. He said, we fasted all day Friday, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday. And he said, I'd asked the Lord to take away our hunger pain. He said, I went through Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He said, Sunday night come. I told my wife, we ought to do 3 more days. This is so easy. Now, what happens when God shows up? Yeah, you can do it. If he takes away your hunger pains, but what did he tell us to pray over? What do we not understand about that? That's just like Sharon and her niece and me with Tim. What is it I don't understand about praying over Tim's ear? 30 years I've gone without praying over his ear. What is wrong with me, Betty? Lord, I had to say, Lord, I repent. I repent for not praying over my son all these years, knowing he's hard hearing, knowing I was there when he had the tooth put in. I was there when it didn't work. I was there when they busted the eardrum. I was there when all of it happened. And now then I do know the difference. And I still haven't prayed, but I have now. This morning, I prayed. And I know that whatever God does is final. You know, he's just that kind of a God, isn't he? Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. God's purpose in this is that people should fear him. You know, there's some scary things in the scriptures. If God says you sin, the sin unto death. He said, I tell you, you shall not pray over that because I'm going to kill him. You know, most people don't even know that's in the scripture. But it's in 1 John 5. That if you sin, a sin unto death. He said, you're not supposed to pray over that because I'm going to kill them. And I said, now then, if they do not sin, a sin unto death, then you can pray. And I'll raise them up. So what should be the message there for us as Christians today? We should be looking for no sin. Is that right? Now, you know, God is a whole lot more merciful than we understand. Because if he wasn't merciful, Jack, I think there's a couple of boys I know that might not be around. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's pretty merciful, isn't he? Long-suffering and patient toward us guys. Oh, praise God. We should fear him. Yes, we should fear him. Verse 15 and 16. Whatever exists today and whatever will exist in the future has already existed in the past. Nothing new. For God calls each event back in its turn. I also noticed that throughout the world, there is evil in the courtroom. Yes, even in the courts of law are corrupt. Now, how many thousand years ago was this written? I mean, you think we had some lousy lawyers and judges back in those days too? Hadn't changed much, has it? So there's nothing new. I mean, we got rotten judges and rotten whatever lawyers today, and we had them then. Let's just put it this way. Did we have rotten people back then? And we got rotten people today, right? Did we have good people back there? Yes, and we have good ones today. Yes. Verse 17 and 18. I said to myself, in due season, God will judge everyone, both good and bad, for all their deeds.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, There is a Time for Everything, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.